Good to see everybody this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you come to worship with us this morning. I hope you'll come back and be with us again real soon. Let's have prayers. I think he's going into the wettest part of the country right now, what's left over the hurricane that's coming through Texas. And I think part of that's going to be hitting us over the next few days too. But let's remember him as he's traveling and in his efforts at the gospel meeting there. You will be turning to Philippians, the first chapter. Be looking at some verses here in Philippians chapter 1 this morning. Multitasking is something that a lot of people expect. Your employer probably would like it if you are good at multitasking. I think a lot of employers are looking for that in their employees. With things that you have to do with family sometimes, you have to multitask to get everything done, it seems like. But sometimes I think when we are multitasking, it's something that really just kind of drives us crazy almost. Because do you ever feel like that you are starting up a bunch of things, but before you finish one thing, you got to go to the next before you even finish, and then you got a lot of things going and not really completing anything? I felt that way many times before. And I think it's something that really can take the joy out of our lives if we don't have one central focus. It's something that can steal the joy away from us. The joy that God wants us to have when He tells us to rejoice always. Sometimes that rejoicing is taken away because we don't have one central purpose in our life that we're acting toward. And we're going to look at Philippians 1 at Paul because he is a great example of having joy no matter what. I had one of the little third grade girls at work the other day at school ask me if I was married, and I told her no. And she said, "Well, that's why you're not always grumpy like my dad is." Well, sometimes there's a lot of things that take away our joy. And that might be one of them. I don't know. Maybe I've got this figured out. I don't know. But we've got to be careful not to let anything make us grumpy. We've got to be careful to make sure that we have that one central priority in our life that doesn't allow everything to take our joy away. And what I'm talking about more than anything is that real sense of purpose that we have. And that is in spiritual things. And that's what, when we look at the Apostle Paul, I think that we see that he had that singular sense of purpose in his life that was focused on spiritual things. You see, God offers something different. God offers us joy in our lives. And in order to receive that joy in our life, though, we really have to choose that one primary focus, that priority that we're going to have in our life. No one has the ability to give their whole heart to more than one thing. We studied in our class on Wednesday night here in the auditorium. Wilson talked about Luke 16 and verse 13, where no servant can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve, as it says, God and mammon or God and wealth in that situation. We can't have different priorities and please everyone. Society tells you, you know, you can have it all. Jesus is saying, though, pick a priority. You can't have more than one. And that brings us to Philippians chapter 1 for this morning's lesson. And Paul writes here in verse 8, "For God is my witness, how I long for you all with all the affection of Christ Jesus." If you look on down to verse 18, he says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice." The Apostle Paul could write a letter from prison to brethren, and he could say, "I rejoice." In prison? Really, Paul? You're in prison. You're rejoicing? You have joy? You have happiness? He had a singular priority in his life, that Christ is proclaimed, that the gospel is preached. That was his singular priority in life. And therefore, even if he was in prison, if that was happening, then that's what was going to bring him joy. That's why he was going to rejoice. That was his priority in life. Telling who Jesus is. Telling what he had done. Telling what he will do for people. Paul said, remember, as we, from our scripture reading earlier this morning in verse 21, for me to live is to Christ, to die is gain. He had that singular focus in his life of the preaching of the gospel. That's what the most important thing is. And when that was being done, no matter what circumstance Paul found himself in, and he found himself in some pretty bad circumstances, no matter what circumstance he found himself in, if Christ was being proclaimed, he had joy because that was what was most important to him in his life. Now here's the question. Are you a victim of your circumstances? Or are you victorious over your circumstances? Paul refused to be a victim of his circumstances. Paul was in prison, but he wasn't a victim of those circumstances that he was in. He was victorious over those. He rejoiced and he found joy, even in terrible situations, because of the focus and the priority he had in his life. If we can have singular purpose in our life based on spiritual things, we can have the joy that God offers no matter what our circumstances in life may be. And so this morning, I'd like to consider just a few things about the joy that God offers and what we need to do in order to be able to obtain it. The first thing I want us to consider is that the joy that God offers really overcomes our circumstances, as we see that with Paul, I think. No one can escape circumstances. I think another word for circumstances is just life. No one can escape it. We're going to find ourselves sometimes in good times and sometimes in bad times. And Paul had to deal a lot with challenging circumstances in his life. This is just one example of him writing this letter while in prison. He was in prison many times. He was beaten and persecuted and left for dead and stoned and all the things we know that happened to Paul. But he still had joy. He still rejoiced despite the challenging circumstances that he faced in his life. He refused to be a victim of those circumstances. And that's why when you look over in Acts 16 and verse 25, when it pictures Paul here in prison at midnight, we see what he was doing. It tells us in verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. He was in prison and he was singing praise to God. Wow, what an example for us. He refused to let his circumstances dictate whether he was going to have joy or not. And he refused to let that dictate whether he was going to serve God or praise God or worship Him, because he had that singular focus in his life, and that was on spiritual things. And he understood that even though maybe the circumstances for him personally were bad, it was oftentimes an opportunity for him, again, to accomplish that priority he had in his life, that Jesus would be proclaimed to the people. Paul didn't allow being in prison to take away his joy. His joy didn't depend on the circumstances of his life. Peter and John are another example. Remember, as it tells us in Acts 5, they walked away after being persecuted. It says that they were rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer for His name. They were happy because they suffered. And again, it goes back to having that singular priority in our life. Focused on spiritual things. Focused on God. Focused on the spreading of the gospel. And when we see those things being accomplished, those are the things that will bring us joy no matter what is happening to us personally and the circumstances of life that we may find ourselves in. Paul was in prison because he preached the gospel. You know, his priority in life was preaching the gospel. That's why he was put in prison in Philippi. Now, how would most people react to that? If you think about it, people would say, well, Lord, how could you allow this to happen to me? I'm preaching the gospel and because of that I'm put in prison? Really? I've served you faithfully all these years. I don't deserve this. If we let our circumstances dictate our joy, that would be the attitude we would have. But Paul refused to do that. What Paul did and said was he saw an opportunity in his circumstances. Look at verse 12 of Philippians chapter 1. He says, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill, and the latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking they cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice." Yes, I will rejoice. Paul says, brethren are being encouraged. They're finding courage to proclaim the gospel. Jesus is being preached now even more because I'm in prison. So I'm going to be happy about that. He said the guards are hearing the gospel. Where else would the palace guards hear the gospel of Christ? Well, the circumstance that Paul put himself in allowed him to do that. Paul had joy because his priority in life was being accomplished. Christ was being proclaimed. And even though he was sitting in a prison cell, he had joy because he had that singular priority in his life. Paul's joy overcame his circumstances. Rather than reacting to those circumstances, it allowed him to be victorious over those circumstances. And he was able to rejoice because the desire of Christ was being accomplished. It's a great lesson for all us, because all of us will face hardships in this life. But if we focus on God, and if we understand He will give us joy that can overcome really anything this life throws at us, then we truly can have the joy that He wants us to have. We can, like Paul, rejoice in even seemingly bad circumstances. There will be times of trial and sorrow and hardships, but we know that God knows and He cares. He gives us the joy that surpasses any negative circumstance that we might face in our life. We may start having problems, though, when we focus our mind on our problems and our circumstances instead of what God has done for us and what God is doing for us, and for that matter, what He will do for us in the future. And no matter how bad it gets in this life, it's only temporary. We understand that as well. Life is short. Eternity is forever. And God is watching over us, and He will eventually take us home to eternally be with Him if we are faithful to Him, if we make Him the priority in our life, if we put Him first. And so anything we face on this earth, the circumstances, can be overcome because of the joy that God gives. He gives us joy to overcome our circumstances. But the other thing I think about the joy that God gives, it kind of redefines our relationships. And we see this with Paul here in Philippians chapter 1 as well. Notice in verse 15, he says, "Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill." Some were preaching because they were really wanting to try to harm Paul. They were wanting to cause distress to Paul. They were preaching out of bad motives for the wrong reason. They pretended to be Christians. They wanted to cause Paul to suffer, probably even bring death to him. Paul's opponents thought that he would sink to their level, but Paul says, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sink to the level that they're at." Because what Paul said again was, regardless of their motives, what was being done? Christ was being proclaimed. The gospel was being preached. What was Paul's purpose in life? What was his priority in life? that Christ be proclaimed. So even though they were doing it for the wrong reason and with bad motives, the result was Christ was being proclaimed. And so Paul says, that brings me joy. Because that's what I want in life. It was about spiritual things. Paul rejoiced because that primary goal in his life was still being accomplished. Even though some were doing it for the wrong reason and with wrong motives, people were still hearing the gospel. And that's what made Paul happy. He didn't allow earthly relationships to determine his joy. He could have got upset with the people that were doing that. He could have lashed out at them. He could have stooped down to their level. But he didn't do any of that because what he wanted was still being accomplished. His joy didn't come from what other people did to him. His joy came from God. And his joy, again, came from that purpose that he had in life when it was being accomplished. Do you allow your relationships in life to determine your joy? No. If that's the case, then when relationships are going good, then, you know, life is good, everybody's happy. But what happens when sometimes things go wrong? Maybe a friend disappoints you in some way, or some kind of relationship goes bad when people treat you badly. If you allow your joy to be determined by the relationships of others, then you're going to be on this emotional roller coaster up and down, out of control all the time. But when we depend on God for our joy, it's constant. He doesn't disappoint. He's always there for us. So when we depend on His, the joy that He gives, then we can, like Paul, even if we're sitting in a prison cell, even if we're beaten, even if we're stoned, even if people treat us horribly, we can still rejoice. We can still find joy even in that. Paul says, you know, it doesn't matter what these people are doing around me. It doesn't matter what they're doing to me. I rejoice. Because his priority, again, was on the Lord and was on Christ being proclaimed. If we have the joy God gives, it will not be dependent on what others are doing. When people treat us well, then we'll have joy. When people treat us poorly, we'll still have joy. Paul shows us that no one can take the joy from us that comes from God unless we allow that to happen. And imagine the influence we could have on the people around us if we rejoice no matter what happens to us. I think maybe that was one of the things that was appealing about Paul and the other apostles, that maybe drew people to them. You know, someone who's in prison, it tells us, as we read a moment ago, that as Paul and Silas was in prison, the other prisoners were listening to them. What do you think was going through the minds of those prisoners? These men are in prison. Don't they know they're in prison? And they're singing praise. They're singing and they're acting like they're happy. They're rejoicing. What's wrong with these guys? You think they might ask, what's different about them? Don't you think maybe they thought, you know, what they have, that's what I want? It had quite an impact on the Philippian jailer, didn't it? He was converted that night. And so as we see, we can have an influence on others. If they see us rejoicing, even in seemingly bad circumstances, they're going to wonder, well, why can someone be so happy when their circumstances are so bad? I want to be like that. I want that. The opportunity and the influence that we can have to lead others to Christ, it's a way to let our light shine among men. And for God to, in the end, be glorified, as Jesus tells us over in Matthew chapter 5. So the joy that the Lord gives is something that should not be dictated by what others are doing to us or for us, or those relationships that we have. And we need to understand the positive influence we can have on others by the joy that we show. Third thing is, I think the joy that the Lord gives, it takes away uncertainties in our life. Do you ever think about, or even fear what may be ahead in your future? I guess maybe we all do that at some point or another. If ever there was a man who had reason to fear the future, I guess it was Paul. Terrible things had already happened to him. He knew people wanted to kill him, and you know, he didn't know from day to day what was going to happen next. He lived during the time of Nero, who history tells us actually, you know, burned down a city to blame the Christians to make them look bad, basically, and you know, turned public opinion against them. I mean, the ruler Nero was kind of a crazy man. Paul lived during that time where he could be taken and probably executed at any point. So if anybody had any reason to fear the future, I guess it was Paul. But, you know, for us, I think sometimes just not knowing and being uncertain, not knowing what the future holds, maybe it frightens us and it can take away our joy and cause us to worry and have all kinds of anxiety in our life. Paul entrusted the future to God, and I think that's what faith does. Again, in verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He says, if God wants me to keep living, I'm going to keep living. And I'm going to keep with that priority. To focus on Christ, to focus on the message of the gospel, to take that to other people. And when that's accomplished, I'm going to have joy because of that. So if God wants me to live, then I'm going to live. And I'm going to keep living for Christ. He says to die is gain. He understood that this was temporary. Whatever I'm facing, whatever people are doing to me, whatever circumstances my life is in, it's only a short time. And eventually, death will come. And he said, that's not a bad thing. It's going to be a good thing because of the eternal reward that awaits those who are faithful. So Paul says, God, it's in your hands. I entrust my future to you. If it means that I die, then so be it. That's a gain to me. The reward awaits. But if you want me to continue to live, I'm going to continue to live. And I'm going to continue to live for Christ. And that's how Paul found joy. No matter what happened, Paul knew he would be glorifying God by his life or by his death. God would be glorified. And even though Paul could have been killed at any moment, he doesn't fear. He rejoiced. Joy that God gives takes away the uncertainties. No matter what happens in your life, there's some things we can be certain of. God will be there. God will see us through it. And if we remain faithful to Him, we'll be with God forever. And that's what Paul understood. When we understand those things, then we have no reason to have anxiety or worry or fear. We have every reason to have joy. Because if we continue to live, if we have that same singular priority in our life as Paul did, to live for Christ, we can find joy in that. No matter what circumstances this life bring to us. Or even if it means our life is taken from us for whatever reason, we know that there's something better on the other side. There's something better that awaits if we have been obedient and remain faithful to God. And that should bring us joy as well, knowing that this world is not just all there is to it. There's something much better for eternity. Because Paul knew that he was going to be able to, because he knew he practiced what he preached, I guess you would say. And because he knew he lived faithfully to the glory of God, that he could have joy. And no one could take that joy from him, no matter what circumstances that he found himself in his life. So joy that God gives, it overcomes our circumstances in our life. If we truly have the joy that God gives, it can redefine really our relationships. It gets rid of the uncertainties in our life. This morning, I'd like for us to consider, do we really have that joy in our heart? That joy that God gives. If not, then we need to find that priority in our life that Paul found. We need to turn our life over to God. We need to have enough faith and increase our faith enough so that we can trust God to work His will. We can be victorious over whatever circumstances that we find ourselves in our life, and don't allow ourselves to become a victim of those circumstances. But instead, because of our focus is not really on what's going on this earth, but on our spiritual things, we can be victorious over life and over those circumstances. Because whatever you're facing here on this earth is only for a little time. If God chooses for us to continue to live, then we need to live for Christ. But we know that eventually death comes to all. And if we are a faithful child of God, what a great reward awaits us. If you're not a Christian, God wants to give you the joy if you will become His child. And you can do that through obedience to the gospel. Paul found joy when the gospel was being proclaimed. When people were hearing the gospel message and were being converted and were becoming Christians. That's what brought him joy. And that's what should bring us all joy as Christians. And we will all rejoice this morning if there are any here who are not a child of God, would come and believing in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized, become a child of God. And start and receive, really, the joy that is offered, true joy that can be found only in having that peace of mind that your sins are forgiven and you have that hope of eternal life. If that appeals to you, that joy that you can find, no matter what this life faces, brings against you, and we hope that you will consider that and respond to our Lord's invitation while we stand and sing.